Ricky Halton joins us from Kaitaia today. Ricky runs Te Kuruwai Aroha Trust, and really just getting a feel today for the mood of our whānau Māori in the far north, of course, down to level 3 or up to level 3 lockdown as of midnight last night. But we sense that there are a lot of people pretty ambivalent or, in fact, anti-government or being told what to do. We'll talk COVID and also community housing with our friend Ricky Halton. Thanks for joining us, Ricky. Tēnā koe.
Ai, tēnā koe. Tēo, e mihi atu kia koutou i whānau whānau i noho ana i Tamaki Makaurau. Ngā mihi aroha kia koutou. Lovely to be talking to you.
Yeah, man, thanks. And, well, it's been a long time down here. I've almost got used to it, but can't wait to get out and, and link up with whānau members who we've been denied access to. Yeah, there are small bubbles that have been created, but not the wider gatherings as you and I like to be involved in. Up in Kaitaia, what's the mood there? Because at one stage, I guess a lot of people thought that they were somewhat buffered from the realities of COVID because of their rural isolation. But now the dastardly has come to visit itself upon the rohe. Your thoughts, please, about the ongoing threat?
Yeah. Hey, look, when you look at the affected, the sort of population, we're talking about at the end of the day, sort of 17-year-olds to 30-year-olds, and that's the majority of Māoridom. 75% of Māoridom is in that age bracket. So we're talking about the majority of Māori. If we try and think back to when we were that age, I think we could all say we were a little bit rebellious and a little bit dig our toes in. But this thing is inescapable, Dale. I've tried to encourage whoever I can to have a vaccination, to get vaccinated, and if not for themselves, well then for people that are immune deficient, people that have got diabetes, cancers, and people that have got compromised immune systems, and also for our mokos and young people who can't be immunised. It's not a matter of if COVID's coming north. It's just a matter of time, and it's sort of here now. It's got a presence, but I can tell you, I don't think anybody's seen anything yet. When they open up the borders for the festive season, and these households up here swell by up to 150% with all the whānau coming home for Christmas. It's beautiful. But along with it will come the risk of COVID. And I don't think we'll see the full sort of fallout from that until about February and March. But am I worried? Yeah, I'm terrified. We haven't got the facilities. The facilities here are already substandard. You can't self-isolate in them. Your family homesteads that everybody comes home to celebrate and enjoy each other. But it's impossible to self-isolate. And so what I'm doing on the other side of this is I'm setting up 16 self-isolation units as we speak, ready for the onslaught of it there, where whānau who have been vaccinated, I can't do anything about those adults who have made a decision, conscious decision, not to vaccinate. I can't do anything about them, but it will be for people that have been vaccinated and who have contracted COVID and need a safe, sanitised place to bring themselves right,
Well, that's, again, being proactive, but you've got a history of that, Ricky. So you're modifying or utilising existing whare for that purpose, or are you literally sourcing and building them?
I'm building 16 from the ground up right now as we speak.
Compromising level 3?
Well, what they are in terms of, there's 16 standalone self-isolation units, and I see what you're asking. You're asking me, are they building them today because we're in level three? No.
Okie doke. No. That's a good idea. So these are self-contained toilet, shower, small room, and you can hole up in there while until you clear COVID tests, ne?
Yeah, yeah. So for anybody that has been immunised but has caught COVID there through no fault of their own. I mean, you know, the hospitals. If you think about it logically, they've already identified. They've done the tabling and the scheduling of it there, and they've estimated 5,200 people between Auckland and Northland. Now, if you think that there's 26 high dependency beds in the whole of the Northern Auckland. There's another 12 at Starship. Where are these families going to go? So, you know, anybody would have to go further up the road to try and prepare as best they can. It's not like Noah and the Ark or anything like that. But I think somebody has to take some sort of responsibility and some leadership and do something. So I've chosen to invest in 16 single units and two Komatua units where they can just go and self-isolate. There's cabins there, so we can't afford to provide the medical day-to-day care for them. So there's cabins, there's change areas where the caregivers can come and look after them and love their whānau while they're recovering, take them in meals and look after them, but we haven't got the funding for that. But then, they're there for 14 days, and I don't want to create an environment there where they become dependent on us, because what's going to happen is families are going to evict their own. You're going to see a lot of family evictions, and where are these homeless people going to go?
Yes.
You know, you're going to have households where people are saying you can't reasonably or safely self-isolate. It's a shared toilet, it's a shared shower, it's a shared kitchen. Throw all the dirty linen out with everything else, and it cross can. How are you going to fix all of that?
Well, you're doing your best to fix it anyway, and I'm not surprised, but again impressed at your flexibility and agility to accommodate changing circumstances. We've spoken of that before, and another wonderful example, Ricky. All the best to you guys up in Kaitaia, and I guess we're in the same boat for a little while as well. Brother, Mauri ora kia koe.
Ai, me koe.